the snowflakes fall as winter calls, and time just seems to fly.
Friends, I've been shooting and hunting with CVA muzzleloaders a long time. They are, in my opinion, the best muzzleloaders on the market. But did you know CVA also makes a very fine line of centerfire rifles, built to last and super accurate? Been hunting with those for several years. Check them both out, the muzzleloaders and the centerfires, online at CVA.com. Folks, I want to introduce you to some good friends of mine at Dash for Cash Pawn Shop in Sigerville, Texas, located at 133 Hall Street. The phone number is 972-287-3121. Go by there and talk with Gary or Randy, the owner. They're great people. They've got some great prices. Again, that's the Dash for Cash Pawn Shop, Sigerville, Texas, 972-287-3121. Welcome back, friends. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton. I've got a story I want to tell you. You know, turkey season is just around the corner. All of us old turkey hunters are getting our camo out, making sure we haven't lost our face mask, and checking the old shotgun, make sure it's still patterning where we think it is, and basically just getting ready. But I'm going to tell you a funny story about turkey hunting and how I've actually met one of the best friends I've ever had, Randy Douglas. I can't help but laugh when I think about this. But this happened, gosh, I don't know how many years ago, well over a decade ago. And I won't give any specific locations. I'm going to keep this generic as far as where we were. But hunting on the river. Now, my old friend Bob Hood, the late Bob Hood, every time I think about turkey hunting or go turkey hunting, I think about Bob, because he and I shared a lot of fun turkey hunts together, and I learned a lot from Bob, and maybe I taught Bob a thing or two about hunting spring turkeys. But we were hunting a ranch on a river that Bob was very familiar with and had access to, and I got invited quite a bit to hunt there with him. And we got out there, you know, of course, before daylight. Bob was hunting an area up off the river, maybe a quarter of a mile, kind of a clearing. Then his plan was to call some birds off the river. They go up there, up in the high country, feeding on a morning basis is what they were doing. And he told me how to follow a ranch road down near the river. And I was going to hunt another area and hopefully get call a bird off a roost down there. Well, I forgot on that old road, was pretty easy to find, and followed it downhill down toward the river. I probably was, I don't know, 400 or 500 yards really from Bob where he was at, maybe a little farther than that. And I set my old Henrietta, I still got that old hen decoy, I set her up on the edge of the road, good visibility for approaching gobblers. And I sat down by an old oak tree and backed up in there and got all hid and started calling. Well, the first loud hen yelp, I usually try to start off with a, you know, kind of a soft yelp. Nothing. I put a few soft yelps. Then I hammered down on that old box call with a loud hen yelps. And then I heard across the river, it sounded like three different gobblers. It could have been four, but I thought it was three. Hammered back at me. And I kept playing cat and mouse with those turkeys for maybe 15 minutes. And I thought, well, I'll call them right on up here. I was probably from the edge of the river, I don't know, 100 yards maybe, going uphill, if you can picture that, up the slope. Well, the turkeys would sound off. They were hot, but they weren't coming. They were going to cross that river, so I thought, okay, I'm going to go down, take a peek, and see what that river looks like. Well, that stretch of river is only about 30 inches deep at the deepest, right through there. I knew it was shallow, wadeable, if you will. So, you know how during flood periods, how debris, you know, brush and logs and stuff will stack up on the outside bend of a river? Well, that had occurred there during the previous spring or winter, whenever the last flood was. And there was a probably 3 to 4 foot high row of debris around that bend of the river, about 100 yards long. So I thought, okay, surely I can get these birds to come either walk down and go around that debris or fly over it. They basically could have hopped over it, about 3 foot high, 4 foot. But I couldn't see the turkeys, and they couldn't see me. So I kept calling. I could hear them. They were sounding off right across that debris line. I mean, they weren't forced. I thought, I'm going to wade this river. I've got maybe I can get a shot through this debris, but it was thick. You could not do that. So I wet my, you know, I was up to my knees, a little past my knees. My pants were wet, my boots were wet, but I didn't really care. I was going to get me a turkey. Well, I get up there right next to it, and I make some soft hen yelps, you know, and they would hammer back. They weren't 30 yards from me, folks. So they couldn't see me, and I couldn't see them, and I was making no human sounds. I was being real quiet, just a turkey call. And so I cat and mouse again for probably 10 minutes, and I thought, what in the world am I going to do? So finally, the turkeys lost interest. And after about, honestly, 10 minutes of this, and they, I guess they thought, well, I'm not going to cross. I'm not going over there for that hen, which surprised me. But they didn't. So they just wandered back in the brush. Well, I go around, walk down to the end of that debris line, turn, go across it, and come back up. Well, there's cover between the turkeys and me, and I start calling again. Well, they hammer back. At this time, I'm on their side. They didn't have an obstruction. It was a clear shot from me to the turkey. So I put the hen decoy up. Couldn't get them to come out of that brush. So I get a little closer and get up on the bank a little bit. Now, I was a surveyor a long time. I ran a survey crew. And I know a little bit about boundaries on rivers. So there's a thing called the gradient boundary that I learned about years ago surveying. A man named Irving Webb came up with it. A way to define the property line on a navigable river. So anyway, I figured all that out, and I thought, okay, I'm safe. So I get up there maybe a foot over on private property. I don't know. It would take a survey crew, to be honest with you, to tell that. It would. But I was in the middle of nowhere, I thought. So I bottom line is, I called one of those gobblers, called two of them up and shot one. It was a two-year-old, probably had an 8-inch beard, as I remember. And I got my turkey. So I got him just inside that vegetation line. So I wrote my article. It ran in a bunch of newspapers, the same articles that I'm still writing today. It ran in the local paper. And come to find out, there was a hunting ranch on that other side of the river. Nobody there, but there's a lodge there and everything else. Well, so I get invited to hunt that ranch across the river from where Bob Hood and I were hunting. This was a few months later. I was all about that because I knew the area was full of turkey and deer. So I get invited to hunt the ranch, and I did. And I met my friend Randy Douglas. We became close friends, and I used to camp out down there on my own and hunt by myself, a tent up and everything else. Had a lot of fun down there with Randy. So later on, we get to know each other real well. He said, Luke, I read that turkey article that you wrote. It had been months back by then. He said, that sure sounded like us. He was talking about his ranch, the ranch that he managed. And he said, was that it? And I said, here's the deal, Randy. I explained to him. I said, I could have been on a foot over on private property. I don't know. And nobody else could legally tell me that, whether I was or not. And, yeah, that was me. I said, I looked up there when I got over there, and I could see the lodge and all that. He said, well, what do you know? I've caught a poacher here. And so we've laughed about that so many times, folks. But we did become really, really good friends and still are good friends. We've had a lot of great times together. But every time I think about spring hunting, turkey hunting along a river, I think about that episode. And so I got that turkey back that morning and met up with Mr. Hood, with Bob. And he was always happy to see somebody get, you know, be successful. And he'd killed a turkey, too, up on the ridge there. And I told him, and you know, I never will forget Bob's, what he told me. He says, well, you know, Luke, you just got caught up in the moment. Anybody else would have done the same thing. So that was that story. I think I've got time to tell you a quick one, a funny one, that happened about 35 years ago up in Jack County, west of Fort Worth up there. I used to hunt up there a lot. A big ranch that a guy named Ed was the owner and manager. The ranch is still in operation, by the way. So Ed and I became friends. I was a budding outdoor writer and beginning to get invited places to hunt. So we became friends, and he knew that I would not abuse the land, and he trusted me. So it was August, and I wanted to go hog hunting. He said, come on up, Luke, and bottom line is nobody was on the ranch. He had to leave after he showed me where to hunt, and he was gone. So he said, just take care of it, lock the gates on the way out, use the skinning rack, et cetera, et cetera, if you kill one. So I get out there, and he takes me to this pond back up in the ranch, and he had a tub full of, let's just say, the remains of some exotic animals that he, you know, when they butchered, he took them in there. I said, what you going to do with that, Ed? He said, you watch this. There was a long sloping rock, probably 12 foot long, that sloped from the bank of this stock pond into the water. He dumps that remains of those animals on that and pushes them down with a shovel. And here comes three V's, long ones, 10, 12 foot long, it looked to me like, coming across that pond. Three alligators. He had them named. So I thought, whoa, this is cool, alligators. And they took them about 2 minutes, and they gobbled up all those droppings there that he put in the water. He shows me a ladder stand, folks, about 80 yards from there. I had a Thompson TC Contender, 730 waters at the time, with a Simmons scope on it. And I could shoot. It shot really well. So it's going to be my first pistol kill. Larry, my friend Larry Wysoon, I'm sure Larry was instrumental in getting that thing shipped to me back then. But anyway, I'm up in a ladder stand 80 yards from that rock. There's a feeder about just on the edge of that pond, about 70 yards out. So Ed leaves, and I actually go back to camp, drive back in there and hide my truck 100 yards away and walk in there and get all set up. Here comes a boar, probably about a 100-pounder, good eater. I was all about the meat, and I still am to a degree. So what does that boar do? He doesn't. He comes to that rock. He probably smelled all those animal remains that had been dumped on that rock that the alligators ate. I didn't know where he was going. He just stayed there for a while, and I shot him. Well, made a good shot, just front part of the shoulder, and he went down and started kicking. He kicked his way into the water, folks. Bottom line is, I watched him. I said, oh, he's going in the water. I'm going to lose my hog. I hopped down and crawled down out of that ladder stand and run up there. By then, there's bubbles coming up out of the water, about 3 or 4 feet out in the water. Water's about, I don't know, 30 inches deep. What do I do? I'm there in the middle of a wilderness by myself, nobody around. Guess what I did? I bet you've already guessed. Yep, I stripped off. And I thought, I'm getting my hog. And I looked around. I felt, honestly, safe. There are no V's coming through, no alligator signs. You know, we'd watch them go to the other side of the pond. They were full anyway. So I stepped out into there with my bare feet. The first thing I contacted, folks, was that little boar's tusk. And yeah, I don't guess I'd want it videoed, but I remember my hair must have stood on end. I reached down and I said, nope, that's not an alligator. That's my hog right here, 3 feet out from the bank. I grab him by the front foot and drag him out of there, and so I had my pork. Folks, if you've kicked around the outdoors as long as I have, you've got funny stories like this, and I wish we were around a campfire so I could hear some of yours. We're out of time. I hope you've enjoyed our show. Do remember this month, the 28th, Greenville, Texas, Top Rail Cowboy Church, our 7th annual outdoor rendezvous. Larry's going to be there. I'll be there. A lot of friends are going to be there. I hope you can make it. Friends, I hope you've enjoyed our show. You know, this is our 20th year to be doing Catfish Radio, and I enjoy doing it now probably more than I did when I first began. It's lots of fun every week. But I want to tell you about a destination, one of my favorite destinations, and it's the Choctaw Hunting Lodge. It's up in southeast Oklahoma, maybe an hour north of Paris. I don't think it's that far, but it's an awesome place. You can go online to ChoctawHuntingLodge.com and check it out. Beautiful lodge there. Trophy deer hunting on thousands of acres of Choctaw tribal land up there. It's just, if you ever go up there, you will return. A lot of eastern Turkey in that part of the country. And probably our closest destination for many Texans to have a real chance to kill an eastern turkey. So that's got that going on. Exotic hunting, hog hunting. If you're an outdoor person, you'd love a visit there at the Choctaw Hunting Lodge. Folks, we are out of time. Make sure and tune in next week and be safe in the outdoors.